This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for taking the time to join us today, Bruce. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, why don't you share with our listeners who you are and the firm that you represent, please?
All right. My name is Bruce Engel. I'm a criminal defense lawyer since 1991, which means I've been doing this for 33 years. I'm the senior lawyer at a boutique criminal defense firm. We're about five lawyers now. We have a paralegal. We have a couple of legal assistants. At any given time, we may have a student or two from Carleton University or Ottawa U. And as I said, we're a criminal defense boutique firm. We represent individuals. We've represented some corporations who are accused and or charged with any kind of criminal offense, and individuals who run into the backside of the law. In other words, people who are contacted by the police in an unwelcome sort of way, not people who are contacted by the police in a friendly way as a victim of a crime, but people who are suspected or persons of interest, as we hear on TV. So we offer advice for anybody and everybody from all spectrums of the criminal defense sphere, whether or not you're contacted by the police early on, whether you're an actual accused person accused of a specific criminal offense on a specific day, or if you're a victim of a crime or a complainant and want to have your views asserted with the Crown Attorney, and the Crown Attorney doesn't necessarily have the resources to give you the as much time as you'd like, or not listening to your requests, we assist people in that regard as well. So criminal defense lawyers, but it probably means a lot more than it sounds. There's a lot more to it than just defending people accused of crimes.
Thanks for sharing that, and congratulations on the longevity. That's it's pretty rare for a business to be around that long and be successful. So congratulations for that. Bruce, can you tell, obviously when you graduated from law school, I assumed you went to work for a firm for at least a short period of time before you started this, or did you jump right into this?
Well, it's interesting. I kind of jumped right into it. I went to law school out west in Saskatchewan, and I moved here to article, and I articled for a general firm that did everything, did it. Very little criminal, but I knew I always wanted to do criminal defense. And I actually wanted to be a prosecutor, believe it or not, at one point. And if you know me, it's actually shocking because the work I've done and the way I think is kind of completely opposite of what a prosecutor does. So I articled, and then I decided that I was going to go on my own. I worked for a solo practitioner for about 6 months. And then I just got my first client, and I remember exactly what it was, when it was, how he called me. And then I opened up my own office right away, right out within three, four months of being called to the bar. I went through the three greatest stresses all within 30 days. I moved into an apartment, had a baby, and opened up my law office all within 30 days.
Wow.
Less than 3 months, all within 30 days. And I remember when I opened up, the bank who extended me a $10,000 line of credit said, well, yeah, you're a lawyer. I mean, odds are that you'll succeed, but 9 out of 10 businesses don't. And I remember thinking, well, those aren't good odds. It's good odds as a lawyer, but not good odds as a general business. So here I am, 33 and a bit years later. Yep.
Wow. That must be pretty rare, I would think, in your field, isn't it? For someone to hang up their own shingle right away like that?
Well, it was funny because back then, a couple of us were doing it. There was a buddy of mine who started his own wills and estates practice. A buddy of mine started a family law practice. And another colleague of mine started a regulatory firm, which that's starting to do regulatory law. And I think that they all may not be doing it as their own office, but they're certainly all still within their areas of focus. But I've grown. It started off, it was Bruce Engel, barrister and solicitor, or law offices of Bruce Engel. Now it's become Engel Associates because we're five of us. So yeah, certainly things have changed, but you know, they change at such a slow pace that you don't really feel it, right? But if I look back 33 years, it would be wild. The one of the main constants throughout my years is my initial assistant. I originally didn't have an assistant. Then I hired, the first person I hired is still with me. Barb Campagna is still with me 32 years into it.
Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Nice. What advice would you give someone that's just coming out of, you know, law school right now? And are the times the same, Bruce? Like, could they, you know, in 6 months go out on their own, or it's just different times now? Would you suggest they stay at a firm first and develop their contacts and their skill set?
Yeah, you probably could. I mean, with, you know, when I started, we had fax machines. I think fax machines were kind of new, and whether I get a fax machine and an answering machine, I didn't have a computer on my desk. Yeah. There was no computer on my desk when I started. So with the advent of technology and, you know, so many paperless offices and the reduction in the labor intensification of the paper that was generated years ago, you probably could start your own practice, right? But it's scary for a lot of people. And the best advice I could give for people who are thinking of it, and this is not only for defense lawyers or lawyers, or this is for anybody, right? I hate to give kudos to these big companies, but what does Nike say? Just do it. Just do it. Don't overthink it. I thought about it a bit. I had to get a business plan for the bank. I think I drafted that in 10 minutes. It was get clients and bill. So if I would have thought about it more than I did, probably wouldn't have done it, right? Because there's so many reasons not to.
Yeah. Interesting. So
just do it. Don't overthink it. Just do it.
You mentioned, you know, some of the things that some of the technology that used to exist that no longer does. So in that same vein, is there any trends that you see coming particular to your industry in the next kind of 3 to 5 years that that may change the way, you know, your business is run and others like yours are run?
Well, I'm hearing AI, right? Artificial intelligence, that sort of thing. It's able to generate documents and do work. Wow, I'm not the guy for that. I'm not in the cutting edge of technology. I'm one of those guys who goes with the flow and gets a computer because everybody got it. I was one of the first ones to do website advertising. I was big on that because I'm a believer in advertising. But the technology, I'm not the guy for that. But what little I know, what I heard, when I heard this AI, and I don't know what some podcast or something I read about that talks about to be an AI technology person, that's where the jobs are going to be. So if you could get good at that, not so much as a lawyer dealing with that, but as a person, an advertiser or someone who was interested in that, someone who's a computer geek, so to speak, that's probably the area. But I mean, what do I know? That's not any kind of expert advice I would rely on. But you asked the question. You know, I thought years ago when people would have said, I would have said alternative dispute resolution. I thought that we were going to move away from court much quicker than we did. We really didn't. We've gone a little bit, but the technology in criminal defense law and the court system didn't change until COVID, right? COVID brought us into the the 21st century. We're now doing Zoom meetings. They're talking about computer adjournments and remands, which I was always thinking about why we didn't do it, but it's COVID brought us there, right? The requirement to have Zoom meetings because it was unsafe to meet in person. That's what led that charge. Not any kind of aching desire to advance with the times. The court system was writing out their remands on papers, and documents are being filed right in court. The remand court was conducted virtually identical in 2018 as it was in 1965.
Wow.
Not a great area for great technological advances, although I guess that begs the question, well, maybe that's the reason why there will be. So you never know.
Interesting. You've been in business a long time. Is there, just as a general, not just as a law firm, owner of a law firm, but is there two or three lessons you'd want to share with our listeners, things that you learned along the way that you wish you would have known when you first opened your doors?
Good question. I wish I would have known a little bit more about cash flow. And, right, as lawyers, we just do, right? You just go and do. But I really got to understand the business side as I did it, right? That's why I say just do it if you think about it. And then I realized when I had the $10,000 line of credit, when I was near the end of it, the bank calls me. They go, Bruce, you're at your we're extending you a little bit. But I go, holy shit! I guess I got to bill out. And there was one month I had a very big sex assault trial. I had two sex assault trials, and it would have been, I can tell you when it was. It was February of '93 or '94, or maybe '92. Early on, a year or two into my practice, and I billed zero in that month, zero. So I haven't done anything close to that since, but I remember when I built zero and I was into my line of credit, they're saying, look, so that's lesson number one. Lie in the bottom line, cash flow, that kind of I learned that. Advertising, and getting your name out there and doing things like this and meeting people. I was always a big believer in advertising. I spent a lot of money on it, and I think it paid it dividends. But getting out and meeting people, right? I play hockey in three different leagues, and I don't play hockey in three different leagues to get clients. I play hockey because I love hockey and I want to stay in shape. But you meet people and you meet clients that way. So you got to get your name out there, and being the best lawyer and staying in your office in your little cubbyhole, especially nowadays with people working from home and, not going out as much. And certainly the courthouse is not as a hustle bustle in place as it was 5, 6 years ago. The need to get out and get your name out there is really important. So I would, the business behind the law is number one, advertising number two. And number three would probably be planning ahead a little bit more, right? It took me 5 years to realize keep Mondays open. I don't set trials on Monday because Monday you got the weekend still over, all the stuff. And after vacation, I don't take a lot of vacations, but after vacation, keep that week free because you got to get caught up. So yeah, I would guess those are the three lessons, right? Time management, advertising, and business of law, the business of making law, cash flow, that sort of thing.
It's interesting you touched, your very first comment was about cash flow. And I've always felt that, I know when I'm, when I'm doing some coaching of entrepreneurs, it astounds me how little they know about anything to do with the financial side of their business. That it's just kind of over there, they've got an accountant or a bookkeeper doing the work, but they don't really know how to read a financial statement or do projections or anything like that. And especially, like you mentioned, cash flow is everything. So I've always felt that anyone that's thinking of starting their own business should at the very least either take a basic accounting course. I mean, these days you don't have to take a formal course. You can watch some YouTube videos, but just to better understand that this is, you know, this is going to be your livelihood going forward for hopefully the next, in your case, you know, a lot of years. You better know how to do this stuff. I think it would, yeah, if we did that, it would help everybody get off on the right foot.
Right. Most entrepreneurs are not accountants, right? They have ideas, whatever product they're developing, whatever idea they're developing, whatever skill they have, lawyer or an accountant or a doctor, dentist, whatever. But yeah, the most important person in my practice all the years, is not a senior lawyer. It's not the senior lawyers who advised me when I rented space at a bigger law firm. It's my accountant, right? I speak to my accountant on a regular basis. I talk about, cash flow still ongoing 33 years later and how I could increase the bottom line and that sort of thing. So I still talk about it because as good as I think I am in that, I really am not, right? I'm pretty good at making money, not making my money work for me. I wish I were better at that, even to this day.
The guy that I used to work for a number of years ago prior to starting my own business, typical entrepreneur, right? Full of ideas. And one day I sat down with him because he really understood accounting. I said, are you a trained accountant? He goes, no. He said, but I knew when I started my business, if I didn't have a handle on this, so it's the only course I took at university because he started his business when he was 18. He said, I just took it as a night school course because I knew I had to understand, this hub of my business, this finance, and I could figure out the rest. But that I didn't know anything about, so I wanted to get a basic education. I thought, boy, that's really insightful and pretty powerful advice for someone.
Those are the smart guys, right? The guys who, know their ideas and know the money behind it, right?
Yep. For someone listening to this, Bruce, and maybe sitting on the fence about starting their own business of any kind, is there any advice you'd want to pass along to that person?
Well, you know what? I was going to say you got to like what you do. You got to love what you do, right? And everybody knows me. I just met you. You don't know me, but people who know me, as aggravated as I get sometimes with the job, I don't even call it a job, with my career, I love what I do. I get up every morning. I greet the day. I don't have the Sunday night doldrums that I used to get when I articled. I don't have that now. Even when I got bad stuff happening, I'm looking, to meet the next client. I get a real kick out of the new clients. And you got to love what you're doing. And for me, it always seemed that I'm not going to get to where I want to get working for someone else, right? I started off and then I said, well, and I can get my own client and do it more my way. And, with a very short period of time, I surpassed the guy I was working for. And I did what I had to do. But you got to know what you want, right? And I'm now 33 years into it. We've got five lawyers. I've got a staff of about 10 to 12, including paralegals and assistants and students. And I remember when it was just me and Barb and I did everything, right? I ran to court. I did everything that came in I had to deal with. Those are some good times. So you got to know what you want. And I kind of respect some lawyers and some people who say, I want small. I don't want too big. But I just grew. I just grew. I had to get bigger, 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 more and more. And sometimes it's maybe not, maybe the quality of life and the quality of your professional existence is different. And maybe sometimes not for the better just because you're bigger, right? Bigger is not always better. If bigger is always better, then you work for the 1,000-person firms, right? Good luck with that. But I know a lot of very good lawyers who are very happy in their, one-man shops, and they still do a lot on their own. But you've got to know what your capabilities are. You got to know what you're going to do and not do, right? If you're smaller, you can't do certain cases. You can't take on a lot of stuff that's out of town that I have the luxury of being able to do. It's very different. My My practice now is very different than it was, forget about 30 years ago, 10 years ago. And I think all the time about it. I think because 10 years ago, I did a very big case out of Montreal. I did an organized crime case. And I remember thinking how different things were. I was able to go there. And now I wouldn't be able to necessarily do that because I've got different responsibilities, staffing responsibilities, stuff that comes up on a daily basis. I do more intake now. So I've got to be more in the office than out of the office. I've got to deal with new clients than being in court dealing with the trials. So it's a different animal, a different existence, a very different looking practice that I have right now compared, like I said, forget about 30 years ago, even 10 years ago.
It's interesting. You talked about commitment and talent and things like that. The last, I don't know how many guests I've had on recently that have spoke to this, but kind of a new trend that's coming up is that people are saying to me, well, not everyone's cut out to be an entrepreneur. And you got to know that before you get into it, because otherwise and I never heard that when I first started this podcast a number of years ago. But ever since COVID, this is becoming a bit more of a common theme. Would you agree with that? That, you know, not everyone is cut out for this. And we're not trying to be negative here. We're just trying to be honest and realistic for people.
Look, not everybody's even cut out to be a criminal lawyer. Like, so I've got that. Like, you want to do this job, it's a full-time job. You're always on. And it was some lawyer in the States. I watched a documentary years ago, and he said, we're always on. We're always on. Even on your vacation, you're always taking calls. And some people don't want that. Some people want to shut off. I try and shut off more and more for a lot of different reasons now, but it's not easy. But so some people aren't wired for that. Some people aren't wired for the risk and stress of the administration, right? People would ask me, what percentage do you spend on admin as opposed to pure criminal law? And I would say it's an equal split, probably more on admin, dealing with banking stuff and staffing issues and Revenue Canada and computer tech stuff than meeting clients and going to court. Probably more so. I would probably say 60-40 admin towards law. And the smaller you are, the probably more that discrepancy, probably more admin because you don't have a lot of people to do it. But then you get bigger and you end up supervising people, and it's very difficult. So is it for everybody? Look, I don't like doing appeals. I don't do a lot of appeals. Some lawyers love it. Some don't. Some people in business want to be their own boss. Some don't. Some want to be able to go and do a 9-to-5 job and answer to someone being told what to do, do it, done, and go home and don't worry until the next day. And I think about that all the time. I think what it would like to be in-house counsel, right? An easy in-house counsel, cushy job, 9-to-5. If the litigation gets a little bit too tricky, you farm it out to someone. It's the easiest job in the world, right? You just manage litigation. I mean, it's unbelievable people get paid for that. But to an extent, that's kind of what I'm doing now. I'm managing my juniors who are doing their litigation. So it's like you say, it's not an insult. Some people are wired for that. Some people want to do that. Some people will be good at it, and some people won't.
Right. Thanks for doing this, Bruce. Before we let you go, where can our listeners and viewers find out more about you and your company?
I am very accessible. My website, you Google Bruce Engel, criminal lawyer, you'll find me. And I am very easy to reach by email. I have my office number, which I answer, my cell number. You got my home. You can track me down. And if people need even advice about whether or not they should be starting their own firm or going to work for someone or how to do it, I'm happy to talk to people about that. If you're in trouble with the law, that's my wheelhouse. I'm happy to talk about that. And if you want to learn another side of me, I have my own podcast called Presumption of Nonsense, which we're going to be recording episode 6 tonight, or episode 6 or episode 7. We're just started out a couple of months ago. And I talk about the absurdities in the areas of law, the stuff, the nonsensical stuff that goes on, the stuff that we have to deal with that general public might find interesting, because we don't just talk about interesting cases, we talk about the absurd. So obviously the absurd is obviously more interesting. So presumption of nonsense on wherever you find your podcast. We're on Spotify and you can track us down there.
Love the name. Thanks so much for doing this, Bruce. Really appreciate your time and your insights.
Thank you. Have a good one.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.